Right now, it is time to bring in David Tarachuk. It's time for the Media Beat. David joins us on a Friday morning. You can also find David with his own website, themediabeat.us. Also, David is a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. And we welcome him in this morning. Good morning, David.
Well, hello. Good to be with you again as we possibly head into what is decisively now fall, do you think?
I definitely think it's decisively fall. I carted in all my plants from the, you know, years ago. I never would have thought myself the one that cares about plants, but I do. I carted them all in the other day because I like to keep them in my house, and it makes me feel warmer in the house in the wintertime to have the plants at the back. But anyway, we'll get
it's
away.
It's weird, though. Here in New York City, it's now 65 degrees at this time of the morning, but 2 days ago, it was 92 degrees in Central Park. So the media capital of the world is reflecting something about the very uncertain climate that we're going through now.
Well, you know, once again, no matter how we try to get away from these damn two people, they keep dragging us back in.
And our favorite characters again this week?
It's, you know,
you're suggesting?
It's amazing. And then you've got, of course, Hong Kong brewing on the side still once again as a very big question mark. But you have the two highly erratic leaders of Britain and the United States that the media just can't leave alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very symbiotic relationship, I think. I mean, partly between the two of them, although they don't seem to be speaking much these days. No. They have their respective concerns to keep them occupied. Although, of course, now in the middle of the Ukraine investigation, it's becoming clear that Trump is making a wider habit of asking for help from other countries in digging up dirt on his political opponents. And it's suggested by one of London's leading newspapers, The Times, that he even asked Boris Johnson, Bojo, his British opposite number, for help. Although, you know, The Times hasn't been able to confirm that beyond one single source, and no other media outlet has managed to corroborate it either. On the other hand, neither the White House nor Number 10 Downing Street have denied this, that Boris's aide was asked to help in the campaign against Biden, that Trump has evidently been trying to get other leaders to help him with, notably Ukraine, of course, making his own diplomats say in private texts to each other phrases like, it's crazy to use denying security assistance to Ukraine as part of, you know, in an effort to get a political gain for yourself. And after that exchange between the diplomats, suddenly they were texting each other saying, let's get off. Let's get off texting. Let's talk out loud. Or at least, you know, not so evidently retraceable as those texts have, in fact, turned out to be.
It's just such a story that's so bizarre. As you follow the impeachment inquiry, which will now very quickly become an impeachment process. I mean, the president wants this fight. The Democrats kind of wanted it because they're Democrats and they never really want want anything other than to eat their own. But now it looks like they're both on that path. And what amazes me, David, is there's people that write about this in the media that really don't understand impeachment. And I'm very amazed. David Brooks did a piece the other day. And he talked
in the New York Times.
In the New York Times. And I have long given up on David. I think he's like a prize fighter that is a champion, has been a great champion. But I think, in my opinion, it's time for him to retire. But he talked about impeachment in a way that seems that you can't win impeachment. And there is no winning or losing in impeachment. People have to understand that if the House decides to impeach a president and they vote to impeach him, he's impeached or she's impeached, and it goes to the Senate, and then they decide whether or not it gets implemented or not, whether it's a conviction. They totally repeat.
It's important to remember, and I don't think David Brooks is fully remembering it, is that impeaching is more equivalent to accusing. It's not finding guilty. That's the crucial difference. You're right. He or she is definitely impeached if someone in a public office is found essentially to have a charge to answer. That's all that impeachment is. It's the Senate in which it's decided whether or not this accusation is justified and the accused person is guilty or not.
And most people who are president don't want to be impeached, whether they're convicted or not, simply because that asterisk remains with you the rest of your life. So, just look at Richard Nixon. He didn't want to go through the whole process. He resigned. He resigned.
Sure. Yeah. I think there are still some, perhaps, rather over-optimistic individuals in various branches of government who believe that may even be possible with this president.
But he
seems so determined to spoil for a fight, as he has done his entire life, really, he's in a completely bring-it-on state. He's even, as of this morning or overnight, saying on the White House lawn, I believe, certainly in public, crying out to China to say, come on, China, help. You can help me too, dig up some dirt on my opponent, Joe Biden. I mean, it's an extraordinary combativeness that, no surprise, of course, but in this situation, it defies normal response to a very serious form of exposure to not just criticism, but in this case, in the end, a legal action, which would indeed, you're right, tarnish his name forever.
It's very interesting that before he was president, he could do all this all he wants, but as president, to ask a foreign country for help against one of your political rivals, boy, it is going to that line. I know that we'll completely have gone haywire when he asks North Korea for help against Joe Biden. I know that's when the wheels will finally come off.
Well, someone was suggesting to me the other morning that the trouble with Kim Il-sung in terms of digging up dirt is that he's far too busy developing intercontinental ballistic missiles to do that for Trump. He's going to have to decline the invitation.
You know, and then we go to Boris Johnson, where he talked about his settlement with the EU. And it sounded all grand and great until the EU responded.
Yeah. He's got. He's still heading towards that ultimate deadline of Halloween. So ironically enough, trick or treat for Brexit on October 31st. He changed his tune a little bit. He sounded very. Very complacent with Europe. He wasn't the brash sort of slug it out rhetorician when he actually put some paper together to suggest to the European Union that there is some scope for agreement here. And he used himself the word compromise to describe it. Opportunities for compromise, at least, and sure, the Europeans took one look at it and said, "Well, no, you've got to work on this again. I'm afraid, go back and do your homework one more time. You have a week now, just a week from today, Friday, to come up with a better suggestion than this. Because when it gets down to the details, well, as some media people, the BBC in particular, have been reporting, there is very little detail there. There's some broad brush suggestions for Northern Ireland in particular, that part of the United Kingdom, somehow or other staying within the customs union of the European Union, while at the same time coming out of it with the rest of the UK. But quite how that is going to actually work in practical terms is not spelled out in this document, and certainly the European Union country most affected by that, the one staying in Europe, that is, Ireland, are far from impressed by it, and they say this is no basis for reaching any kind of agreement. And so, you know, back to the drawing board for Boris, I'm afraid, and he'll have only one more week to work on it.
It's just amazing to sit here, and I guess what I don't understand and is that the media, at least in this country that I've seen, and I actually tried to watch some of the media the other day, and I just had to turn it off simply because here's the problem over here, and we've got fine journalists. I'm not criticizing journalists at all. What I'm criticizing is the way these journalists are asked to present news on television. These people that they bring in, the talking heads and everything, instead of letting them just be themselves, everybody's brought in, and I would be willing to say that directors and producers say to these people, we need real interesting clips. You know, we need something that really goes out there and sells.
Sound bites.
Yeah.
Maybe they should just send in, like no heads, just the neck. I am listening to the two of you with interest, and I would like to take a little poll at this moment. Do you, Marshall Miles, believe that there will be a deal with the EU?
With the EU?
Yes or no?
A deadline. By the deadline? Yes, I do.
Okay. David Tereshchuk, do you believe that there will be a deal with the EU by the deadline?
By the deadline of a week from today?
Yep.
Or the deadline by, the ultimate deadline by Halloween?
Halloween. They will not crash out, is basically what I'm asking. That there will be a deal, they will not crash out.
No, I have no belief let me put the two negatives together. I do not believe they will not crash out. I think there is still a possibility they will crash out with no deal.
Well, yes, a possibility, but you are making a wager that they will crash out.
I'm almost convinced they will. Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
It's amazing what pressure that will put on.
And by the way, the ultimate repercussion of that is that I'm predicting chaos. Of course, you appreciate that.
Naturally, but that's your job because you are in the media. This is
it's
the
my
thing.
Considered view that Boris is bent on a collision course that will result in chaos. Yeah.
All right. That is question one.
And what's question two?
Question two is, actually, that's question three. Question two is, in following this coverage, did you notice that the second time he prorogued, Alex prorogued Parliament, it didn't even get a blip?
That's right. The second time around, people don't seem so upset.
I know.
But of course, you know, it's the Parliament is not being suspended for as long or so.
Well, no, they had the brouhaha.
But all the same, yeah, you're right. It's as if the second time around, it doesn't really matter.
Well, because they, in theory, what they'll say is they got everything in place that they wanted to have in place by NFRS. That's what I'm just saying. That's what they'll say.
You can understand.
Make faces, and but that's the way it's.
No,
way it's,
you're absolutely right. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. What I'm saying is, hey, folks, if you think for one second that you're being presented with the full meal instead of just the a la carte version of what it is that your preference is, you know, would you like chicken or fish or veg?
Well, but that goes to everything. Like David, I have to laugh. Yesterday, I'm going home, and of course, the Bernie Sanders heart treatment, where they just which they do to 10-year-olds and 90-year-olds, where they put a stent in, and he's recovering and everything. All the networks over here, the mainstream networks, are just saying this is the end. This is what, this is that, and then all of a sudden, over the next 2 days, one, Joe Biden comes in and he's only raised $15 million, which is only $5 million more than Andrew Yang, after Bernie Sanders raised almost $29 million. And two, the polls that I was coming in this morning and I was listening to the BBC, and they had a result on polls from California, polls from Michigan, polls from Pennsylvania. And who what three people are all tied at the top of those polls are Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Joe Biden. And what the mainstream media is not doing is... Mainstream American media is what they're not doing, which is a disservice, is they're showing the groundwork that's about to take place over the course of the next 4 months. And if people don't think that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren aren't on the same team, they are on the team to defeat Joe Biden. And when you add their two totals together against anybody else that's in the Democratic race, those two have the majority of the people behind them. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Democrats and the Democratic National Committee and mainstream media view this over the course of the next several months into the wintertime, because everybody in America, anyways, the mainstream media, is missing the point of what's going on in the Democratic Party, which is a slow but continual march towards the progressive ideas of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And now it's proven even more to the fact that Yang got $10 million in donations. I just think Democrats have got to wake up on two fronts. They just got to get through this impeachment thing, impeach him, and move on. And then the Democratic National Committee really has to let things unfold and not get involved. And they have to keep... The Democratic National Committee has this strange hold on the major news outlets in this country.
That's strange.
It's nothing strange about it. The mainstream American networks, it's very hard to avoid this conclusion, have a idée fixe, as the French call it. The playbook is set as far as they're concerned. Yeah. And that Joe Biden's the man. It's very simple to see. And it's a very simple idea, of course, for them to operate with. The complexities and the subtleties of how the Democratic Party has been changed by the cauterizing experience of the last few years is not something that the mainstream media have really followed through and factored in. Their simple-minded picture is the one that's holding for the moment, and it will only be challenged as time goes on and it becomes increasingly clear, as you say, that this internal battle within the Democratic Party has yet to play out fully. Some people like you maybe would say that they're eating their own. Others would say that the democratic process is at work in the Democratic Party, and certain changes, quite fundamental changes, are at work. And we're not necessarily going to end up with a candidate that our mainstream media are generally predicting for us right now. That's right.
But they put something.
I absolutely agree with you.
But how can they miss on all three counts? The amount of, and the ability to raise funds, and then you can't take polls now any seriously. But you can take, if you get three or four polls that come out, and they're roughly in the same thing. The same area, it's a good indicator, just an initial indicator that there's something adrift, something to shift, and not one, not even Fox, not NBC, not CNN, no one, not ABC, not CBS, is pointing out the inevitable, and it just stands out there.
When it comes to strategic thinking, I don't think Fox is even interested in it.
Fox is treating Biden, as the takedown. So, but
yeah,
what
of course, yeah.
I, there was something, there was some knowing full well that there is there are people waiting in the wings. But what was really interesting, first Bernie's numbers came up, forgetting the forgetting the medical procedure, which was called surgery initially, which I thought was really clumsy. First his numbers come out, the 25 million plus, which just crushes it. And then there's a little trickle. Well, Biden's consolidating his support around Super Tuesday.
Well, you know, what's funny about this, wait till Elizabeth Warren's numbers come out, and they're roughly around the same as Bernie Sanders, and you take Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Andrew Yang, and their numbers are going to dwarf.
Well, I would talk to somebody about this yesterday, and he said, I said, why? Because as Marshall knows, and as you know, I get about 18 emails a day saying, just $3, we're falling behind. Anyway, what that person I was speaking to today is, he said, you know, there's so much money out there. This is just an industry. It's just a way. It is like walking around with a magnetic file because most people don't think about it. Just like, sure, here, take my money.
But Warren, Yang, and Sanders are not taking super PAC or big corporate money. That's the thing.
That's the point.
That's the point that the Democratic National Committee has got to look at.
No, but the point is there's so much money out there that they're hoovering up. And conversely, what I don't see is how much money Trump raised in the quarter.
Well, sure, he raised 100. Well, see, the Republicans do it smart. They lump, because he's president, Donald Trump, with all the super PACs and with the Republican National Committee. And so it comes into about $125 million. But if you lump Bernie Sanders, and this is where the mainstream media falls off, if you lump Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Andrew Yang into that, guess what, folks? You're probably around $100 million.
And when you add in all of the other people, you when you put Pete in and so forth, you've got you're up to.
But that's why I hate this country's election process, and I wish we were like more like England, where we could just scrap it all and declare elections and get it over with.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's very, very difficult, especially over the protracted length of the American campaign.
4 years, you mean?
Ever be in the business of comparing like with like? And when you're talking about bundling everything together on, you know, in amongst people's fundraising capabilities, it's very difficult to find what is the like to compare with the like on the other side.
There isn't. It's an industry.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's
insulting.
Complex, and then you're taking your head in your hands when you attempt to make some direct comparisons. But it's certainly true that it's a lot more complicated and a lot more uncertain than the game plan of the major networks as they allocate their resources to reporting at the moment. It's as if we're all a done deal, and it's a Trump-Biden fight from now on. And of course, it's very far from being that, irrespective of the impeachment process. That basically will focus a lot on Biden, as it inevitably must.
Well, to be continued.
Absolutely, it needs to be
the next episode.
Carefully followed. Yeah.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat.
Thank you.
And, of course, you can join David every Friday here on Robin Hood Radio with the Media Beat, rebroadcast on the weekends and next week as well.